My wife put down, deliver a wonderful message. So turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians in your New Testament. That's an ongoing joke with Dale and I because he, after the first message I ever did, he sent me a text and said, that was wonderful. That's powerful and wow put together. And so when he got done with his 11 o'clock service, I said, that was wonderful. And he said, oh, thanks. And I said, don't you remember the text? What text? So I had to explain it to him why it was wonderful. So I kind of lost his point. But anyways, 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to go to 18. Verse 12 to verse 18. Dale was telling me that, first of all, I learned my lesson. Don't pick on the ass-quick boys, because Dale tells me, I got to 11 o'clock. I said, well, that's pretty neat. And then they come to me and they say, do you want Wednesday night? Man, I shouldn't have picked on Sam. I got rolled down the list of ways, but no, I'm just joking. It's all good. I think I'm just as nervous as I am on a Sunday. So we're going to start reading 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 18. This is going to be, again, I'm not a rocket scientist, so this is not going to be any rocket science at all to it. But it's obviously about Thanksgiving is where we're going to start off. So we'll start off in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto all men, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just to start right off, verse 12 and 13 are talking about pastors, and I think it's a very important thing that we be thankful for our pastors. The time they put in, the knowledge they put in, the willingness to share with us the how they have love for us, how they pray for us. So the first point out of those first two verses are we praying for them? If we are truly thankful for our pastors, then we need to be praying for them, for their study, for their daily, daily things. Obviously, I think a lot of us were praying for last 10 days for Pastor John, no more than Pastor Hain was. Bring him back, because I'm too old for this. But he was looking a little wore out by Sunday afternoon. But the main thing is we just need to be praying for them, because it's one thing for when we go through a trial, it's another when they're going through a trial, because they still have to put on, I won't say put on a front, but they still have to show the love of God every day. And we have days where we don't feel like we have the love of God, and we can let it out a little bit. They kind of can't do that. So then we'll go back to verse 14, and this is my verse. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfortable, feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. That's mine. I'm feeble-minded. I'm very weak. So that verse was directly for me. Verse 16, rejoice. Verse 17, pray. In verse 18, in everything give thanks. And it doesn't say in some things, it doesn't say in just the good things. It says in all, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So it's pretty important, if it is the will of God, that in everything we give thanks. It is in Christ concerning us. And so the biggest important thing is obviously you can read it for yourself. It's not rocket science, but in everything we need to be giving thanks. No matter good, bad, in everything give thanks. That doesn't, we had a missionary one time, I think it was Jerry Mullendorf, if I remember the name correctly, but he said, if you get a flat tire, you go around, you kick the other three, and you go, whoo! And Ashley and I have tried to adopt that in our lives, because it just inevitably it gets your mind off of what the problem is.
Yeah,
to go, whoop, and I sent her a message. I broke down my tractor trailer one day, and I sent her a message, and she said, "Did you go out and kick all 18 tires?" And I said, "No, I'm getting rid of them." It does. It sounds stupid, but it takes the focus off for a second.
Yeah, amen.
What's going on? Just got to keep moving. Now, there's some things that come along that are evil. You don't thank God for the evil, but you do thank Him. He is who He is, and He can get you through the evil that's coming at you. Mm-hmm. Again, obvious stuff, but when it's something, you can't tell if it's a trial, a temptation, or whatever. A temptation is evil, and if you're being tempted, that's not of God, but He can and will give you what you need to get through that time.
Yes, sir.
Verse 18, it's God's will for you. Again, just repeating that. And I hope I'm not going off course on this, but verse 19, quench not the Spirit. So it looks like an answer to me. If you're not giving Him thanks in everything, you could be quenching the Spirit.
That's good.
Obviously, that's not a good thing to quench the Spirit.
That's right.
We're going to go from Thanksgiving, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. We're going to go to Matthew 5. And most people will know what Matthew 5 is, but the section we're going to. Go to Matthew 5. As soon as I get there. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And if this was my Sunday school class, you'd get the gold star for telling me what this is. These are the Beatitudes. We're going to start in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's a key word that starts every verse there, and it's blessed. And in my red letter edition, it's red lettered. And you take that word, and we talk about America being a blessed nation. And I can pretty sure that Pastor Asquith will tell you the person that he saw in Vietnam was the worst off, would switch places with anybody, about any one of us. And we could have had the crappiest life here. We don't even have an idea what other countries, what people are going through. And a lot of times we skip over how blessed we are. So again, the first part was be thankful. And what I guess titled it is, we can't be thankful without joy. Everybody should fall into one of these categories. You can't not be blessed, as far as I'm concerned. If you're a Christian, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If nothing else, you have the promise of eternity in heaven.
Amen.
You're blessed. Okay? But this scripture was put in there, blessed, 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 blessed. Put yourself in there somewhere, find where you should fit. It should be great encouragement how wonderful God thought of us, that He blessed each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. He wants only His best for us, nothing less than His best for us, except for we take our eyes off of Him and we don't get His best. Again, it comes back to us falling short. God didn't fall short, we fall short. We don't follow, we don't want. Hard to say, sometimes we don't want His blessing, and that's sad to say. If you know what He has in store for us with eternity, you should want His blessing. You should want to do whatever you can to get that blessing. We're going to jump to Luke 15. We're going to stay all in the New Testament, so that'll make it easy for everybody. Luke 15, 8 through 10. And I'm reading on the out of the NIV version. Don't worry, it's the Neil International version. We don't want to scare you too much here tonight. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. We want the turkey to settle. Luke 15, 8 through 10. Either what woman, and again, this is a very common passage, the parable of the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found that piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So what I saw in verse 10 is, if the angels have joy for our salvation, why do we lose our joy? There's again, trials come along, different things come along, we lose the joy of our salvation. And that's kind of the key phrase I want to get in there, is we should have the joy of our salvation. Again, verse 10, the last part, or the second part, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. That was me, that was you if you're saved, that was...
Amen.
There was joy in heaven over one of us. So I also read in verse 10, I don't see an expiration date on this. There's not a spot where it says they stopped rejoicing, okay?
That's good. Amen. That's good.
There's rejoicing going on in heaven over us. So, again, if there's that much joy over our salvation, why do we oftentimes just take it for granted? We don't. Something comes along, we just lose. We lose our joy of our salvation. I also feel that, again, there's no expiration date, and I'm looking into this, I guess, but it I would say when we're saved, it just continues on. They continue to rejoice in heaven daily over me just as much as a sinner that just gets saved. There's excitement in heaven for the fact that I'm going to be there, that Billy Bob's going to be there, Fred's going to be there.
Amen.
There's rejoicing every day, continually in heaven. The way I'm seeing it, the way I look at it, that should, when we get the there's a word I want to say, but there's a certain man that always uses it, and I can't use it. When you get down in the dumps, obviously every situation is different. I don't know everybody's situation. Everybody doesn't know my situation. But when you get down in the dumps, what I'm trying to get to is you should still have the joy of your salvation. And if you don't, you can pray, you can read your Bible, you can do different things, get focused back on God. That whatever that issue is will fade away. If you get centered on Christ, and he will help you get through that. We will fast forward to John 15. And like I said, this didn't take rocket science to put this together. I looked on the back of my Bible and looked under joy and I looked under Thanksgiving, and these are just a few. If you want to do a study or you want to do something, go in there and find all the scriptures that have joy or refer to Thanksgiving, and look them up and read them, and not, we're just kind of reading a verse here or there, hit and miss, but read the whole passage, figure out why there was joy, why there was excitement in that moment. John 15, 9 through 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's that word I'm trying to get across here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I'm just going to just stop there and say, that's a hard verse to do.
Yes.
this week alone, or well, last Saturday morning, I got upset at work over whether it was right or wrong, something was done, and I got upset. I didn't love my boss. And unfortunately, there was three other guys there that saw me not love my boss. So, I lost any witness with those three guys. That bites. You can try forever. You mess up once, that's what they're gonna remember. Anyway, sorry about that. 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, and if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So basically Jesus is telling you that I know everything basically because my Father has let me know that, and if you love me, I will let you in on that. And that's, a lot of times we think God knows everything, I'm not as smart as him. Apparently I'm not supposed to know everything. We're never going to know everything. But if we grow to love the Lord and we are striving to love the Lord, he's going to let us in on a lot more than if we are Sunday morning Christians.
Yes.
There's going to become a deeper love there, a deeper connection, and it's going to be, you're going to be able to call him Father. You're going to have that connection.
Amen. Yeah.
Verse 11. And I'll read it again real quick. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy remaineth in you, and that your joy might be full. It says full. Doesn't say a quarter cup, half cup, three quarters cup. It says full. He's done his part. Our joy is dependent on what we do with our salvation. Again, trying to get back to the fact of the joy of your salvation. If you are saved, and I know I'm beating a dead horse on this, sorry, AB, but I don't want to beat a horse, but he's already done everything he said he was going to do. Now it's up to us if we're going to follow through on our part. And he has listed out what we are supposed to do. Is it always easy? Very seldom is it easy, but it's still our responsibility to do our best. Again, that's why it bothers me so bad that what I did at work, because I was trying to do my part in 1 minute of weakness, which, again, that's all it takes. I can pretty much flush anything I had said or done or tried to do around those three men. It's over. It's very, first thing I need to do is apologize to all three of them when I meet them. See him again.
Amen.
That will probably be the toughest part, but and then try to start working over again and building a foundation, building a relationship.
Oh, that's right. Amen.
Gonna fall back first farther to 1 Peter. And has anybody heard about Peter? Is he gonna make a home?
He's here.
Over there in the corner.
Hey, there's Peter. Welcome back, Peter. Sorry about that. I should have known nobody asked for prayer for him.
Yeah.
1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And that kind of goes back to the verse we were talking about earlier. It's ours. We just, no matter how bad the situation, no matter how bad it gets, you still, if you're saved, have reserved a spot in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, another word for joy, basically, though for now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe, ye rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I think there's a song that has a part of that in there. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 4, and I'll read that verse 4 again. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. If that doesn't give you joy, you better call a repairman because something's wrong with your device. Again, just the thought of what Jesus did for us should be enough to again, everybody goes through things far worse than I do and have and whatever, but don't focus on the situation, focus on the joy of your salvation. Get yourself out of that situation, get back into praising God. I've always heard, take a piece of paper whenever you're going through a tough time, write down your praises, write down what's bothering you. Your praises you can praise God for the air in your lungs, you can praise him for shoes on your feet, you can praise him for a roof over your head, which hopefully we still have when we get home. You can, I'll tell you in a second. Praise him for a job, you can praise him, everything in your life you can praise. I can praise him for glasses, even though I hate them, I can see because I have glasses. It doesn't matter, there's something you can praise the Lord for. And that should get you out of whatever pulling you down, whatever's dragging you down. The forces that are doing that, again, go around, kick the other three tires, and go whoop. When we hit the deer, we put the headlight back up, duct tape it up, and said whoop. We're all good. We're safe. Let's try to get home. It's you just got to get to that point. Verse 8, we can't be full of joy all the time. Let's get real. There's times where just stuff brings you down. I get it. Tough times are out there. But you choose to waller in the lack of joy, or you can focus on salvation. Again, beating the horse, I know, you have to have a joy of your salvation. If everything else in the world is coming down on you, focus on the fact that a man loved you enough to die on a cross so you could spend eternity with him. It's not a complicated thing. It's very simple as far as I look at it. Yes, times can be tough, but just got to focus on the joy of your salvation. We're going to finish up with Philippians 4:4, and then my wife is going to come up, and we're going to finish a little differently. And this is obviously just one verse out of the whole chapter. I'm just plucking it out, but the words, anything that's repeated in the Bible is, in my opinion, you need to look at it again. You need to look at it and figure out why it's there. But Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Again, you could put the word have joy in there. Rejoice, have joy. Once we stop rejoicing, and I talked about it earlier about quenching the spirit. It was there with Thanksgiving. If you, in my way I read it or have the opinion, you stop thanking God for what he's doing, and you're kind of quenching the spirit. The same thing with rejoicing. They go hand in hand. If you're thankful, you should be rejoicing for what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
kind of go hand in hand to me, but the warnings though, don't let the devil or man or relationships or the stock market or jobs or health or lack of health or wealth or lack of wealth or etc. Don't let all those issues take you from the joy of your salvation. Might I suggest to you though, if you don't have joy of your salvation, you might not be saved.
That's right, yes sir.
That's totally between you and God. But if you don't have the joy of your salvation, you might really need to consider and look into that. We need to be thankful, and again, thankful for our salvation. And that's it for the Bible verse. If Ashley will make her way up. This is what my wife came up with, and I liked it. She's going to pray through, She's going to play through. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. She has an activity that she needs volunteers for.
Hi.
So, you want the mic?
No, I'm a teacher. We can do this, right? So, in Neil's family's tradition, what they do at Thanksgiving is they take the word Thanksgiving and they give them something like the letter T. What they're thankful for that starts the letter T. So, I have the first three I asked for volunteers.